Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday, December 19th, 2023, 16 and a half minutes past the hour. And this is going to be a very special hour for a lot of reasons. The guest this morning is joining us in studio, and this brings an end to 16 years of interviews with this gentleman while he's been in office. I was on the air the night he was elected mayor of Marion a few years ago now. We've done interviews during pandemics, financial crises. I've covered every one of his elections. We've done weekly interviews for 16, our monthly interviews for 16 years. So such a pleasure today, but a little strange to be saying for the last time as mayor of the city of Marion, Mayor Scott Schertzer. Mayor, here we go.
Yes. Hey, good to talk to everybody. Thank you so much. You are my last official media interview before I leave office.
Really?
Official.
Official.
Now, something may come up in the next, what do we got left? 10, 15, less than 15 days. Who's counting, right?
Right.
Something may come up where I may have to do some impromptus, but you're the last official.
Well, I appreciate that. And one thing I want to talk about off the top here. Last Monday, we talked about the pay raises, and we talked about the possibility of those going through before the end of the year. My understanding, they will be on the agenda tonight. There is a city council meeting, third rating, raise for the mayor seems to be the one that everybody's looking at, but the auditor's in there as well, law director as well, and the vote will happen tonight.
Yeah, that's right. What they did, I think it was more than 6 weeks ago when they got, I think it was to the third reading, which they should have voted on it then, they decided to postpone it to a date certain, and today is that date certain that they will have it. Actually, today is kind of a special council meeting because we normally would not have a regular council meeting. We would have that on the last Monday of the month or the fourth Monday. Unfortunately, next Monday is Christmas, as everybody knows. So I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And please be safe out there as you travel to and from your festivities. But back to the pay raise, postponed to a date certain. It'll have to be voted on tonight. If they amend it, it'll go back to first reading. If they do anything different legislatively, procedurally, it's not going to get done this year. So we'll see what happens. Council has been pretty mum on the issue. Nobody has really approached me on the issue. I wish we had had some discussions prior to it getting to this point. I do believe, as I have said before, that every elected position in Marion Municipal Government deserves a pay increase, but these are rather exorbitant pay increases. And let's keep in mind that when an elected official gets a pay increase, it's for the term of office. They don't get 3% a year while they're in office. It's a lump sum all at the beginning and before their term starts.
We have talked about counting votes. You say council has been pretty mum on this. A lot of things have happened in the last month with city council and the cash flow in the city of Marion, or at least things have been found out. Do you feel it will pass tonight?
I get these suspicions that it probably will when you take a look at the votes and how votes tend to go. I would bet it would pass. But, you know, when the city auditor informed the finance chair, the incoming mayor-elect, and myself and the law director that there was a cash flow problem that existed this year, they were concerned about making payroll for the month of December, and I found out, I believe it was on December the 9th, that we had that concern. And that cash flow issue will go into the beginning of 2024 in the first quarter. So those are very concerning when you have cash issues.
We've talked about this before, but if you feel that it is likely to pass tonight, if it does, Will you use your veto power on that?
Well, and let's just go down the list of the powers that the executive branch has in municipal government. The first is the obvious. I could sign them, and then that means everybody gets an exorbitant pay raise. I can pocket veto them. And a lot of folks may not understand what a pocket veto is. We learned it in government. Most of us were high school seniors when we learned it. But a pocket veto basically means I just let it sit on the desk for so many days, and then it goes into effect without my signature. And that's basically when the chief executive, whether you're the governor or the president or a mayor, says, you know what, I'm not really in favor of this. I don't want my signature to be on this piece of legislation. The third option is a line item veto. I can line item out the dollar amount if I think it's too exorbitant. That's a little risky because we can't find any case law in the state of Ohio where that is permissible to be used in a piece of legislation such as this. I know without a doubt it can be used in an appropriation ordinance, and this is not the case here with this particular ordinance. And then obviously the final option is an outright veto, which I would have to explain to council why I chose to veto a piece of legislation.
With time obviously being of the essence, only a few days left in office, council meeting tonight coming up, what would you likely be doing if it should pass tonight?
Well, that's a great question. I don't know that I have a great answer or any answer for you, unfortunately. I want to see what conversations take place before the votes. That will be very telling to me. If council isn't willing or even able to have a good conversation on the floor about why they should or shouldn't vote for something like this, so that'll be a big factor. Obviously, how the vote comes down will be a big factor. To override a veto, you have to have a supermajority. So let's wait and see how many people vote for it and against it.
What should the mayor of Marion be making?
Well, look, and that's how they came to the calculations of these exorbitant pay raises. I think they probably looked back over time and said, hey, Mayor Schertzer has had one pay increase in his 16 years. That's just not right. And I would tend to agree with that. But they should be modest pay increases every 4 years. And the best time for legislative pay raises to go into effect is after an election and after the newly elected officials take office. That way, it does not take effect in that term. They have to stick around, get reelected to get it next time. This is a horrible time. But I will also say, in my tenure in Marion Municipal Government, this is the time we do it. And it's been a terrible time every time. The pay raises should be discussed in the first quarter of 2024, not in the last quarter of 2023 after a municipal election, when we know exactly who the people are that are going to hold these offices. You know, we always said that we don't give a pay increase to a person, we give it to a position. In this case, since the election is over and we know who won, you're giving it to a person, not the position.
Before we continue on with this conversation, because it is your last interview with us this morning, official interview, we wanted to have somebody call in this morning to, I think this is meaningful, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
Oh, I'm just fine, Scott.
Hey, we're here with Mayor Schertzer, a few days left in office. What do you make of Mayor Schertzer's term as mayor? You've known him for quite a while now.
I think he's been terrific. He's done a wonderful job as mayor, and I hate to see him go.
Mayor, how'd you meet Mary Ellen?
Well, interesting story. First of all, hello, Mary Ellen. Thank you for calling in. I want to give Mary Ellen credit because she has been my inspiration in public service. I was fortunate coming right out of college where I had an opportunity to go to work in the treasurer's office. I don't even remember what department I worked in. That's terrible. But I worked in the department, and I volunteered to drive her on the weekends on some events that she would have to go to. And how did we meet? That's a great question. I think because the fact that we were both from Marion, we probably had mutual friends, mutual acquaintances. And when a position opened up in the state treasurer's office, I applied for it. I got it. And then I just made myself available to help out Mary Ellen and her administration while she was the state treasurer.
Now, Mary Ellen, when you met Scott years ago, did you expect that big things were ahead for him?
Well, I thought it was possible because he was an interesting young man. I enjoyed being with him, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah, I would also say Mary Ellen was a great mentor, even back then. I'm not the only former Mary Ellen Withrow employee who has gone on to elective office. She probably knows of more of her former employees that did that. But we both know, and both of us are still very close to Franklin County Commissioner John O'Grady. And John O'Grady was one that I worked closely with, and he was in Mary Ellen's organization before I got there. So that was great to get to know folks down there as well and watch them grow and go on and serve their local communities.
Well, Mary Ellen, I can't thank you enough for calling in this morning. It means a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mary Ellen.
Okay, yes. It's great that you let me call in. Okay.
No problem. Thanks, Mary Ellen. Bye-bye.
Yes. Bye.
Definitely an inspiration for anybody in Marion who wants to get into politics or really anything else.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, and after I'm done here, I've got a Harding High School student that's going to shadow me today. Oh. And then that's happened a few times over the years. And this young man is interested in public service, probably not sure at what level yet, whether he wants to run for office or just work in government for an elected official or a policy person in some department. But his grandmother also served as the county treasurer and the county auditor, Michelle Pearson. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know that Michelle followed Mary Ellen in the treasurer's office. So yet there is just another example how Mary Ellen's footprint and influence has been pivotal in helping people like myself, Michelle Pearson, maybe someday her grandson becoming an elected official. And so she's just been wonderful in that regard.
One more question about the pay raises tonight. You said this is more about a person. Is that what the pay raises have come down to? Is this a political thing that will happen tonight, a political vote?
I certainly hope not, but I fear it probably has. And after the votes are cast tonight, that picture will become more clear if that is the case. And that's why you don't do it at this time of year. That's why it should have been postponed until the first quarter of next year. The newly elected council members can cast their vote. That's the best time to do it, not right now.
If you were to do anything after this vote, veto form or any of the other things we just talked about, how soon would you do that, being time is an issue right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'd have to take a look at the calendar because there are so many days that I can either pocket veto it. There are so many days if I want to do the traditional veto, giving reasons why, I have to submit it back to the clerk of council. She has to notify council. So there's some procedural hurdles to get over, and I'll take a look at those procedures just so I know exactly what my options are.
Are you getting ready for tonight's meeting, knowing what's on the agenda, that this is on the agenda?
You know, I used to spend all day Monday getting ready for council meetings, making sure that I was briefed on the issues before city council. Being that this is my last meeting, quite frankly, no, I'm not doing a whole lot to get ready for it, to be honest with you. I think after 16 years as mayor, then my time on city council, I'm pretty well prepared for most of these council meetings. And if I don't know an intimate detail on a piece of legislation, that's why I have directors, the safety director, the service director, and department heads that are there. We ask all department heads that have legislation before city council, especially when the vote is taken, to be present so they can answer any more intimate questions about a piece of legislation in regards to the department that they are the department heads of.
Now, when you are a mayor and you know what's coming up, in your mind, do you already have an idea of how you're going to handle a situation?
Well, sometimes, but you know, council has thrown a lot of curveballs over the past 4 years, and I don't just mean council. There's been a lot of uncertainty in Marion municipal government the past 4 years. When I first got on council, I came into a very experienced legislative body of Marion City Council. You had members of council that had served, you know, more than 2, 4, 6, and even 8 years. So they were very experienced. They understood the parliamentary procedures, which we follow, Robert's Rules of Orders. They understood the codified ordinances and the rules of city council, which are codified in our code as well. So it has changed a lot. People don't seem to have as much regard for those issues about knowing how Robert's Rules of Orders are supposed to work. And I don't even know if it's taught anymore. I learned Robert's Rules of Orders when I was in high school, and we used to have a parliamentary procedure team in high school. So that was my basis for understanding it. That's how you run the meeting. That's how you understand. You can table something. You can vote to postpone the actual vote that you're talking about. There are a number of procedures that can be used, and nobody, hardly anybody, I should say, understands that anymore.
So tonight, just to clarify, how council handles this vote on the pay raises and the discussion that may or may not take place will affect what you do in regard to those.
Yeah, I think so. There's no doubt about it. You know, if it passes 9-0, then that tells me a lot. And if it fails, well, then obviously we know what happens if it fails. Nobody gets a pay increase. Now, these are four separate ordinances. They're not all lumped into one. And again, I just want to be clear, each one of these elected positions deserves a pay raise. I just think this is too much. Even city council, the average city councilman, I think, gets paid around $9,000. They're going to bump that up to $20,000. That's an $11,000 pay raise a year. There are 10 council members that get that. And in that particular ordinance, they do have the treasurer in there. Traditionally, the treasurer, since I've been around, gets paid the same as city council. That's why it's the same ordinance. So all those positions, the city treasurer and 10 members of council, are all going to go to $20,000 a year.
The argument that I have heard made on all of these positions is, look at the cities the size of Marion, look around us, and look what they're making. Now, we have issues here in Marion. We have no bond rating now. There is a cash flow problem. Investments have been sold off to pay for things that needed to be paid for, fines at this particular point. An auditor will be resigning on January 5th, the second in 4 years. Does that matter when we look at this, when the argument is other mayors make about this in cities this size?
Absolutely. All those issues matter, and there's no doubt about it, that other cities our size and our demographics, the mayors, the elected officials, do make more. Now, how those other elected officials in those like cities are making more, I have to make some presumptions here. The presumption is is over a period of time, they kept pace and gave regularly scheduled pay increases to those elected officials, which is the way we should have done it here. It's the way we tried to do it here, but it did not get executed over the years. So to do it all at once is kind of hard for folks to stomach when the next mayor is going to get a $40,000 pay increase over what I'm making as mayor. That's more than the median income of a family of four in the city of Marion.
Does that irk you in any way?
It does bother me because it shows more about the elected official than it does those that you are representing.
Interestingly enough, we have spent a lot of the last 4 years talking about the auditor in Marion. And we'll continue on with that.
Surprise!
Yeah. And we'll continue on with this because since last we talked, we did know that Miranda McGinnis was going to resign on January the 5th. Now, since then, I have had a chance to look at her resignation letter. She says in the resignation letter, it's only two sentences, that she has accepted a position in Marion government, and she'll help with the transition. Now, we also heard from Bill Collins in an email in which he says they've talked about it. He will appoint her to that position, but he was not going to do it till after January the 1st because that's when he'll have the power to do it. Now, a lot of people have said, you asked for her resignation. You asked for Robert Landon's resignation. To clear up the problem in the auditor's office, why didn't you just offer them a job in a different department, and this would have fixed the problem?
Well, let's be clear. Based on what you just said, two things can be true at the same time, right? They can be. And I think that's the case that we have here. We do not know exactly what the conversations were that took place between two individuals. They could have been private. I don't know who else was privy to them at the time that these conversations were taking place. I think it's a good thing that we move forward. I can appreciate that. But I think we need to understand that the dynamics are quite different now than they were with the previous auditor, Landon, and when Ms. McGinnis got appointed to the position. She got appointed as a Republican. Robert ran as a Republican, and the resignation during that term of Robert or Miranda, the Republican Party would have appointed the replacement. I think it's what, no less than five, but no more than 45 days, if I'm correct. That's the time that the party has to make that appointment. But under the circumstances, Miranda ran as an independent. And it used to be if you were an independent, on your petition, there is a place for independent candidates who put down their committee. I think it's five electors from the city of Marion. And if an independent were to leave office, then that five-member committee appoints the replacement of an independent office holder. Well, that's not the case with a municipal auditor, and I think a municipal treasurer. So the law has changed somewhere in the past few years. That would be the case if it were the mayor, if it were the law director, and I believe city council as well. That independent committee would appoint the replacement, not the political parties. So the dynamics are quite different today as a result of her running as an independent. I'm not challenging that at all. I'm just saying it's changed now.
Should this have happened?
Should have her resignation have happened?
With the idea that she has accepted another position in city government, which would lead you to believe that she was offered a position in city government. Now, nobody's spoken to either one of them, so I hate to make that assumption, but when that's in your resignation letter, we do know that.
Well, I think words matter, and I know that when after I won my first term, I had people in mind who I thought would be good in certain department head positions. However, I also said that I was going to leave the department heads where they were. They were the experts in their particular departments, and so I met with each one of them after I was sworn in. But prior to that, I knew immediately that the safety service director had already tendered his resignation and was leaving. So by the time I got there in the mayor's office, after getting sworn in on January 1st, the former safety service director had already cleaned out his office and he was gone. So that was happening before I got sworn in. So I had to have somebody kind of in my mind of who I wanted. And I think I chose one of the best safety service directors that the city has ever had in Tom Robbins. He has a in-depth background when it comes to safety issues in our community. We learned together about some of the service issues, and we quickly realized, the both of us together realized, that the safety service director is now, it's become specialized. Not one individual can know about the police and fire department and what's going on at the wastewater treatment plant. And so after a while, Tom Robbins and I decided, and we agreed mutually, because Tom would bring information to me, that we needed to separate the two, and we did, and that's how we got Jay Shoup on board, who was more of an expert when it came to the service side of the city of Marion's services. So that's how I arrived at the decision. You have to have people in mind when the time comes. I knew that I wanted Tom Robbins to be the safety director. He ended up being the safety service director for a short period of time in my first year of my first term. But I could not, and Mayor-elect Collins is correct, you cannot officially make that appointment until you are sworn in. But you can have those conversations beforehand. And so I don't know if they got the cart before the horse in this case.
The difference with this particular position, I think for a lot of people, is that auditor's an elected position, director of transportation is an appointed position, and the auditor has been asked to resign by yourself and at least two other city council members. And a lot of people feel that if she had not been offered this position, she would not have left the auditor's position. Do you think she would have?
Yeah, I kind of wonder that myself. I don't know the answer to that question. I think some of your questions probably should be posed to either Mayor-elect or, when he gets sworn in, Mayor Collins. Excuse me, I am so sorry.
No problem.
I think he should answer such questions and let the public know what happened. Were there conversations? Did he actually ask for her resignation? I don't recall of him asking for her resignation publicly, but maybe privately he did say, "Miranda, maybe it's just time for you to go." Okay, and then maybe the conversation evolved at that point. Now, we're now speculating, and that's never a good thing to do. We should know the facts, and when you get the facts from the two individuals that were present, and you also can get the facts from somebody else that may have been there. I don't know if Deputy Auditor Watts was there. I don't know if Law Director Russell was present during these conversations. I have no idea who else was there. I found out Monday morning, literally moments after the auditor told us we have a cash flow problem. And then the conversation evolved. It moved upstairs to the mayor's conference room. And then it evolved into, Yes, she was asked to resign. That's my impression, based on what I saw, based on what I heard, based on what was said. That's my impression. Now, my impression is mine. I have a right to that impression. If it's not correct, then somebody else needs to come on and clear up the issue.
People are very skeptical of government because of things that go on. And this, for a lot of people, is one of those things that it sounds like, I don't want you here, so I'm going to offer you another position. You leave this position, we'll give you this. You might not have any experience that we're aware of, and maybe there is some, to run the transit department, but this will help you keep a job. Should that go on? Is there any illegality in doing that?
Well, I'm not an attorney. I'm a former 8th grade American history teacher who has served in Marion Municipal Government for 25 years. But you do pick up some legal issues. But I'm not going to give an illegal opinion on that. I think the only person that could and should give an illegal opinion to your question is City Law Director Mark Russell. And that's where that question needs to go. And if your listening audience, if the voters, and if the taxpayers want an answer to that question, then they can come to City Council starting in January and ask that question, because everybody will be present at that meeting.
You will be a Marion citizen come January the 1st, January the 2nd. Do you want to know the answer to that question?
I don't know that it would help at all. It wouldn't help me personally. I'm more concerned. Look, I had a conversation with Josh Daniels that I think I've alluded to before earlier this year, and Josh and I appreciate Josh. We don't always agree, but we agree on most things. And he said, you know, Scott, public service just gets in your blood. And he's right. It does. So from a public service perspective, yeah, I would kind of like to know. But when it's all said and done, when Mayor-elect gets sworn in on January 1st, when Miranda's resignation, it goes into effect on January the 5th, I think. And then if she gets appointed, then these questions are going to rear their ugly heads again. You don't want this story to have a life of its own. And that's what's happening here. It has a life of its own. And sometimes people feed the fire. You got to feed the beast, so to speak. And the beast is being fed right now because of the uncertainty of what actually transpired here with Miranda McGinnis's resignation.
Last bit on this, would you have done this, and why or why not?
No.
Why?
Well, for many of the same reasons that I just discussed. I would want my first publicly announced appointment to be positive. That's why I wanted Tom Robbins to be my first publicly announced appointment back in 2000. I probably announced it in late 2007, but you know, he actually took office, his position as safety service director, on January 1st when I got sworn in. So that's the kind of announcement you want your first act as either a mayor-elect or a newly elected mayor to be. You want it to be positive, and you want it to be somebody who everybody has faith in. And unfortunately, with this appointment being the first publicly announced appointment, the public already doesn't have faith in the auditor. We've heard City Council many, many times say, I just don't trust the numbers she's giving us. For good reason, they have said that. We didn't find out until December 9th that we had a cash flow problem, for goodness sakes.
Want to talk, how bad is the cash flow problem? That's a big question. Is payroll going to be met? Are the fines going to be able to be paid? What's going to happen to the city of Marion?
I believe the fines were paid. The first levied fines, I want to say, were about $270,000 to the IRS. But the IRS basically told the city of Marion on December 7th, either you cut a check or we're coming in and we're grabbing it out of your account, which the IRS has the authority and the power to do. Like it or not, okay? So that has been paid to the best of my knowledge. knowledge. The cash flow issue, I guess it's anybody's guess right now based upon how things have been going in the auditor's office. The first payrolls this month have been made. There's still one more payroll to make in December. I hope there is enough. I believe there's enough because the Treasury Investment Board voted to cash out $1.5 million of our investment portfolio to cover those payrolls. And so I think and I believe there's enough right now. But there are other issues to follow. There's more IRS penalties and fines. If you keep cashing out that investment portfolio and you get it down below $10 million, which they're heading there awful darn fast, that's danger zone, folks. Danger.
I want to reflect back on your time as mayor in the last 10 minutes, but I got to ask this question based on what you just said. If we don't know if we can make payroll, if we can't make payroll, no matter what discussion would happen tonight, no matter what the vote would be, how could anybody in good conscience vote a $40,000 raise for the mayor?
Well, that is a great question for 9 voting members of City Council that I unfortunately cannot answer right now.
But it's a problem for you.
I don't see it as a problem. I know what my powers and authorities are given me to the mayor of a city of Marion under the Higher Revised Code and the state constitution.
Okay, biggest accomplishment as mayor, biggest regret?
I'd have to say with all the challenges that I have faced in 16 years, keeping the ship afloat was a big accomplishment. There's no doubt that, 6 months into my first year of my first term, the economy just dropped out of the bottom. Unemployment went double digits during the Great Recession. And when unemployment goes up, our revenue goes down. So we had to make some drastic cuts. We never fully cut any service that I'm aware of in my first term, but we did have to cut back on a lot of services. And I just appreciate the bargaining units of the city of Marion that I worked with. I appreciate the employees and, more importantly, the patience of the public at large, because that was an economic disaster that was not caused by anybody in Marion Municipal Government or anybody in the city of Marion. But we came through it, and we came through all these challenges. So being a captain with a steady hand was very important the last 16 years, because I ended my last term with the pandemic, and that was more difficult because of, again, we had no control over what was going on. And there were some very lonely nights in City Hall because we sent everybody home. But myself and my directors were on the third floor of City Hall doing our jobs, making sure the trash got picked up, making sure the squads were running. We had to do a lot of creative things back in those days, and we kept the ship afloat. So those were the biggest challenges that I faced.
Biggest regret?
I still have some regret that I couldn't convince enough members of City Council not to override my veto on the pool. Again, just stating for the record one last time before I leave office, I was for a new pool. I knew how we were going to pay for it, but a $3.5 million aquatic center was just way too much. And the revenue that we were going to use to make the debt service payment, we couldn't use that and operate the pool. The pool has never operated in the black except for during the pandemic when we didn't open it up and we didn't lose money. Again, we need a pool in our community. We need a nice pool. We do have a gorgeous pool. We have a gorgeous aquatic center. But you have to be able to afford the amenities that we have.
16 years, when you're the mayor of a community, everybody gets to know you. They say, hello, mayor. They see you in the Y. They see you in the grocery store. What don't we know about you? What's something we don't know?
Boy, if there's something you don't know by now, with the way social media is, people probably think they know more than the reality actually is because of social media. I like to think I'm pretty I really don't know how to explain it. I'm a pretty modest person. I was I was just beside myself when the park board and a park board member just walked in and they decided to name the downtown park after me. I had no idea. I'm flabbergasted. I'm honored. My daughters were driving by downtown a couple weekends ago, I think it was, and one of them saw the sign and they looked at each other and like, what was that? So they pulled over, and as young adults do, my daughters are in their early 20s, they got out with their phones and they started taking pictures in front of the sign. So that's really cool. I appreciate that from the Marion City Park Board. You know, Tom Panett, who served as the city treasurer for so many years, is on the park board now. Mike Chaney, former park director, and then of course Mike Zucker is just the community guy extraordinaire. I think he would do anything for the kids in our community.
Because of social media, which has really come of age during your term, mm-hmm. Biggest misconception about you?
Wow. I try not to spend a lot of time on social media. So when I hear something, it's usually negative that somebody told me. You have to have a thick skin. You have to be kind of like a duck and let the water roll off your back, because you and the people around you and your family know what's true. The people you work with know what's true. What I find challenging now today in public service is if you disagree with somebody, you just go out into the public or on social media and say that they're a liar. I've had that happen to me recently on an issue, and I'm like, I really don't know what you're talking about. And they said, well, you're just lying. I don't believe you. And so that deep of a mistrust over something that was not that big of a deal is very concerning about how we treat each other as human beings. Forget the fact that I'm a politician who got elected mayor for 16 years. Let's just try and treat each other like human beings. Let's do a better job. It's the holiday season, for goodness sakes.
What's next?
Great question. I've had some interviews jobs that didn't seem right for me. I've had some job opportunities that I have declined. So we're still kind of feeling our way through some of these opportunities. We'll see what's next. I think I have expressed to you and your listeners a few times now that I would gladly and willingly run for treasurer of the state of Ohio again in 26. It's an open seat. That's appealing. But I think it's also important for me, before I make that final decision on who's the gubernatorial nominee going to be? Because that is crucial, because you need somebody at the top of the ticket that's going to lift the ticket up. The state treasurer candidate should not be getting more votes than the Democratic nominee on the ballot in a statewide election. And that's what I did last year. And I'm grateful for the votes I got. Thank you, Ohio voters. It wasn't enough to put me into office. I understand that. But you have to build on things. And I am willing to build on what I did last year and the experiences that I had and the places that I went and the people that I met. And I'm hopeful that I will have an opportunity to serve again, because as Josh Daniels and I both agreed, public service gets in your blood.
So definitely we'll run for office again.
I think that is something that is in the cards, but you never want to say definitely.
Yeah, but want to.
I would very much like the opportunity.
Aspiration.
To.
On the state level, or would you consider the county or city level again?
No. Excuse me. You know, after venturing out throughout the state, I think that that's where my interests are right now. I don't know that with gerrymandering, the state legislature is a possibility. I know how these districts are drawn. I understand what gerrymandering is. Unfortunately, most of our voters do not have a deep understanding of gerrymandering. Gerrymandering has created the political divide that exists in our country and in our state. And it's a shame that we have allowed it to happen because, you know, voters in this state voted down gerrymandering for fair districts, balanced districts, and we still didn't get them the last time when the commission drew the lines. I still refer to it as the redistricting commission because that's what it used to be.
How do you want people to remember your 16 years as mayor and remember you?
That I gave everything to the city of Marion as the mayor. In the 25 years that I've been a mayor in municipal government, I've never missed a regularly scheduled council meeting. And even though tonight is not a regular scheduled council meeting, I will be there tonight because that's what the voters elected me to do. We may not always agree with one another, but I've made the decisions that were in the best interest based on information that maybe I had and they didn't have with the city's finances, what my authorities and responsibilities and duties were as the mayor of Marion, given to me by the Ohio Revised Code and the Ohio Constitution.
Finish this sentence. Scott Schertzer is?
Scott Schertzer is a family man.
Sad in any way to leave office? Melancholy time?
Absolutely. Yeah, thoughts run through your head. I mean, look, I know it was the right decision not to run for a fifth term. I know that. But yes, it is sad to leave. This is the longest position, job, lifestyle, because it's not just a job. It's a lifestyle being mayor, because as you said earlier, I'm grocery shopping down the aisles and people stop you and want to talk to you or ask you a question. I'm working out at the gym and they do the same thing. And I'm grateful that they felt comfortable enough with me as their mayor that they thought that they could do that. I didn't look at that as a negative. I saw that as a positive.
Well, Mayor, we've come to the end.
Are we at the end?
We are. Last 2 minutes.
I'm glad you gave me 2 minutes. So, in recognition of what you have done in your position in radio, in talk radio in the city of Marion, I have two documents here that I want to leave you with from the mayor's office. I'm only going to read one of them, though.
Okay.
It is the responsibility as the mayor of the city of Marion to honor individuals in our community, and in that manner, it is a pleasure to recognize Scott Spears for his contributions to our community. I commend you for your dedication and passion as a talk radio host in your hometown of Marion. Through your dedication and passion, you were able to moderate several League of Women Voters forums, debates, and also win an Associated Press Award for your interview with Helen Thomas, the Dean of the White House Press Corps in 2011. During your time on the air, you have had the opportunity to interview and host of individuals in politics and numerous legends, including actors, comedians, talk show hosts. Through your talk shows, you have maintained a commitment to covering local scenes in Marion on a daily basis. I extend my best wishes to you in the coming years. I wish you luck. I thank you. I hope the elected officials of this city and this county continue to come on and you can get to the truth. Let me present this to you now, Scott.
Well, Mayor, thank you so much. I don't know what to say.
Just say thanks.
You know, if you would have done this earlier, I would have never asked you a hard question.
Just say you're a great mayor. That's all.
You know what? You know, Mayor, I do want to say, my goodness, I don't know what to say to that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm very, very honored. Really, my goodness gracious. But 16 years together, I was saying this morning when I came in, I'm a little sad about this. Not that you're not going to come on again, but it's been 16 years. I was there when the night you were elected. You came in every election night when the elections were called. We went through a pandemic together. We went through auditors' resignations together. You came down from city council, walked in when the Aquatic Center veto was overturned to my show that night. I mean, it's been a run.
We have a pretty good memory. So in 2027, after the 2026 election, I will do your interview first if you're there. So
hey, there you go. And if the veto happens tonight,
Give me a call.
Give me a call. Mayor Schertzer. Mayor Scott Schertzer, 16 years as mayor of the city of Marion. Thank you so much. That really means something to
me. Thank you, Marion. I appreciate you.
Hey, for this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often.